So saying, swinging to and fro like a monkey and still chuckling, he pushed off and soon disappeared in the darkness of the lake. From that day I gave up all thought of penetrating into his house by the lake. That entrance was obviously too well guarded, especially since he had learned that I knew about it. But I felt that there must be another entrance, for I had often seen Eric disappear in the third cellar when I was watching him, though I could not imagine how. Ever since I had discovered Eric installed in the opera, I lived in a perpetual terror of his horrible fancies. Not insofar as I was concerned, but I dreaded everything for others. The Persian might easily have admitted that Eric's fate also interested himself, for he was well aware that if the government of Tehran had learned that Eric was still alive, it would have been all up with the modest pension of the erstwhile daroga. It is only fair, however, to add that the Persian had a noble and generous heart, and I do not doubt for a moment that the catastrophes which he feared for others greatly occupied his mind. His conduct throughout this business proves it and is above all praise. And whenever some accident, some fatal event happened, I always thought to myself, I should not be surprised if that were Eric. Even as others used to say, it's the ghost. How often have I not heard people utter that phrase with a smile? Poor devils. If they had known that the ghost existed in the flesh, I swear they would not have laughed. Although Eric announced to me very solemnly that he had changed and that he had become the most virtuous of men since he was loved for himself, a sentence that at first perplexed me most terribly, I could not help shuddering when I thought of the monster. His horrible, unparalleled, and repulsive ugliness put him without the pale of humanity, and it often seemed to me that, for this reason, he no longer believed that he had any duty toward the human race. The way in which he spoke of his love affairs only increased my alarm, for I foresaw the cause of fresh and more hideous tragedies in this event to which he alluded so boastfully. On the other hand, I soon discovered the curious moral traffic established between the monster and Christine Daae. Hiding in the lumber room next to the young prima donna's dressing room, I listened to wonderful musical displays that evidently flung Christine into marvelous ecstasy. But all the same, I would never have thought that Eric's voice, which was loud as thunder or soft as angels' voices at will, could have made her forget his ugliness. I understood all when I learned that Christine had not yet seen him. I had occasion to go to the dressing room, and, remembering the lessons he had once given me, I had no difficulty in discovering the trick that made the wall with the mirror swing round. And I ascertained the means, of hollow bricks and so on, by which he made his voice carry to Christine as though she heard it close beside her. In this way also I discovered the road that led to the well and the dungeon, the communist's dungeon, and also the trap door that enabled Eric to go straight to the cellars below the stage.